Hi, Richard. Jamie Hughes from Blue Butterfly. Just a question in regards to when you developed your system. It looks like it probably required quite a lot of integration with Virgin and Qantas directly. Would that be a correct assumption?
Virgin, yes. Qantas, no.
Can you just perhaps tell us a little bit about your experience in getting a company like that, particularly when Webjet was probably a smaller operator, to get them to come on board and put the time and effort into developing together with you?
They didn't actually have... Well, generally now the airlines don't have to do a lot of work because we source... I mean, we prefer to... Can everyone hear me? We prefer to source from one provider, so in the sense that Galileo aggregates all the airlines except the low-cost ones. Low-cost ones have independent systems, but they now have APIs, so we just write to those APIs, which is an interface protocol. I think the difficulty is more on the commercial side, where we sort of have this category which we call low-cost carrier 101, and low-cost carrier 101 goes like this. We own the customer. And all customers are ours, and therefore you can't operate online, and we won't allow you to connect to us. Low-cost carrier 102 goes, you know what, we can't get all the customers, and therefore we better open up our systems and deal with providers like you. What's interesting is that, and I think it's more mature overseas, because in the US market, the airlines have about 50% of the business direct, and the other 50% goes to the online travel aggregators like Expedia and Travelocity. In Australia, because the technologies didn't arrive at the same time as the airline technologies arrived, the airlines dominated and they had 90% of the market. That's now one of the big changes in 2005, is that the consumer's gone, you know what? I can see technologies like Webjet or Flight Centre or whatever it is, and it's pretty good. And I'd like to see the choice that's available to me, so you've seen the movement. But so in answering your question, it's less on the technology side, it's more on the commercial side. Technology is actually not that hard. We don't actually have a lot of technology in-house. We outsource a significant part of it. There are governance in terms of risk committee and audit committees that will go through and regularly review key items, and they will and have sought external advice on that.
I was just asking about his target market segment, and what percentage, or how would he define that, and what percentage that would be when his market has matured, as opposed to the traditional market?
Okay, the first part of the question, how do we define it, is that we don't. They define it themselves, and they define it themselves by primarily the search engines and what they tell us about themselves. What I mean by that is, and it's interesting how existing businesses put names on things. In the travel business, as you'd be familiar with corporate travel agencies like Carlson Wagonlee or BCI and the like, the customer online, corporate, doesn't define themselves as I'm looking for corporate travel. What they search for is cheap flights to London, discount hotels in Brisbane. So in effect, we match the customer as how the customer is using their database of intentions of what they want to do. That defines them at that level there. And it's a fundamental change to business that we don't put our own definitions on how they choose to come through to us. What we do is look at what's going online. We spend a lot of time with keywords and the keyword traffic, which again is how customers are defining themselves. We know where we are not getting our message through. For example, we haven't fully got our message through on international travel. People don't necessarily see us as an international travel provider. We will be starting a big TV campaign in the next few months, and to get that message across, because TV is a better medium to actually get a brand type of message across like that. So customers define themselves. We have about 25% of the online market at the present time. It's really us and Flight Centres. The other story about 2005 was that at the start of the year there was a pack of four or five players. At the end of the year there was only two, Flight Centres and Webjet. And we know that people convert more in our technology than they do theirs. So we have 25% and growing market share in an online space. The online space currently is about 3% of total air travel. We see that going to 7.5% in the next 2 years. So it's gone from 200 million 2 years ago. It'll be a billion next year. and we're 25% of that. That's where we see it. That's our horizon. If you look at the US, the US is now 30% of all travel is booked online, but it's kind of plateauing a little bit now. And there's kind of a view that, you know, I mean, broadband helps and people's experience helps, and you can actually do the numbers forward. So we think it's a fairly thing, and if you're interested, I can give you those numbers, or they're on our website in an investor's presentation, how you sort of cascade it down. But it's a pretty easy number to work out.
Jenny Gillam from Knowledge Executive. I was just wondering about the people in your business, whether you've now got people that have knowledge of the travel industry and skills in that area, or have you moved more towards technology based and most of the people in your business are more around your technology skills?
Both. We've got the management team that runs Webjet is, we all worked together in the 80s at Jetset. So we've got that many travel years. I'd hate to count them, but so it's a team of people that on the management side that have got that experience and got that technology experience as well as travel. In our service or call centre, we actually prefer younger people with online experience with a mix of travel, so it's kind of 50-50. But it's a very, you don't need a great deal of travel or traditional knowledge, but we actually come from a different angle. What we're interested in is someone who's passionate about servicing the customer, getting it right, using new tools like web chat and things like that. So it's a mix of both.
Spur of another from MYOB. Richard, certainly it appears that in 2004 you almost in some ways reinvented your business around the technology supporting it. That's a massive step, and I'm sure there's plenty of people in this room who in businesses probably in a much smaller scale are also have been considering in a lot of ways reinventing their business around technology. But there's certainly a fear factor and an element in there that might be holding them back. Can you tell us a little bit about the thought processes that went behind making that rather significant change in your business?
Well, I wasn't there at the time, but I was chief technology elsewhere, and if someone had presented this to me, I wouldn't have done it. Where they were at was they were using someone else's technology and effectively building their IP and building their capability. And I know, because I did actually do some work for them on a sort of consulting basis, and one of the fundamental issues was what are the leading players do overseas, and every leading player overseas has built their own technology. And also looking at the models down here where it really doesn't work, and it's all about handoffs. See, Zuji came down here with some pretty good technology, but they hand off to a call centre. So you've got all this, again, we come back to costs, you've got all this costs and risk and interplay. So the model wasn't to do that, but it was a... I remember they had me consulting and I was doing investor presentations and I thought, whoa, this is a pretty big risk, you know, because you've got... But you had the best in the game, I guess, effectively doing it. So Microsoft did a fantastic job. And at that point in time, they needed a sort of a poster child for their .NET application because it was only in a couple of government utilities. It really wasn't in the public online consumer space. So they needed a poster child. They have, I'm not sure how it works, but they have an R&D development centre in Sydney that has some government funding position. So they effectively, I mean, they must have put in double the cost of what it cost us. And they were passionate. The thing about travel is that it interests people and they're passionate about it and they get really involved in it. So we were really lucky, a whole lot of, like, all the planets lined up on this. But it was high risk, but it's worked. If I take myself outside of Webjet and look at it from a technology perspective, yeah, big bang stuff is really tough. You know, I don't know what the statistics are, but you know, you read in the newspapers, you know, Westpac, be it whoever it is, NAB, Qantas, you know, they've got $200 million projects they close down because they can't get it to work. Big risk. So you'd have to think about it real carefully. And that's one of the problems that, you know, it's no accident that in all the online categories, the leading players are not traditional businesses, so realestate.com, Seek, Webjet, whoever it may be, because they think they devote the resources to it, but they don't. And if all you do is online and you're 100% focused against that, you will always beat the player that is 20%, 30%, 50% focused, and you sort of get this half-baked proposition generally. So, yeah, I think, yeah, So if you are, I guess, a more traditional business and, you're thinking to go about online, it's a really tough one because you've got to culturally change. You know, Flight Centre's had real problems. They have, to their credit, they have turned on a sixpence in the last 12 months, but no one wanted to work in their online space because they weren't remunerated in the same way they were offline.